Hey, I'm Nancy Wilson.
Mike Campbell.
Mark Mothersbaugh from Devo.
Hey, it's Adam from Counting Crows, and I am here giving you the story behind the song.
The story behind the song is back for season four. I'm Peter Chidi of Deep Cuts Media, and this season we're diving even deeper into some of music history's most iconic tracks with the legends who made them.
What's so beautiful about it is a lot of people connect with, you gotta live your life and don't let the big man push you down. Don't have to live like a refugee, can't keep fighting for what you believe. And that was Tom.
From the spark of inspiration to untold tales from the studio, we unlock the true stories that shape the music you love.
At the time on the radio, there was a really cool riff by Nazareth covering a Joni Mitchell song, This Flight Tonight. It had the same groove, but I think Barracuda kind of blew it out of the water.
Join us as we all sit down with music icons like Devo, Heart, Mike Campbell of Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, Sublime, Counting Crows, and so many more. New episodes are out now from the Consequence Podcast Network, so tune in wherever you get your podcasts and join me for the story behind the song.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
I'm in my spot.
Consequence Podcast Network.
And welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks for dropping in. Hopefully you're already a subscriber. If you're not, of course, hit that subscribe button right now, wherever you're listening from. That includes Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. You can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With, and please do give the series a rating and leave a review while you're at it. We've had some great guests drop by lately. Michael Chiklis, you know him from The Commish, The Shield. Rob Corddry of The Daily Show and Hot Tub Time Machine. Mary Stuart Masterson, Fry Green Tomatoes, Benny and June, to name a few. We also talked with Hannah Stocking, Madison Pettis, Yvonne Orji about the movie The Wrong Paris. Willem Dafoe, legendary Hollywood actor, joined Corey Hawkins to talk about The Man in My Basement. Soft Cell, OMD, both 80s legends dropped by, as did Sabrina Impacciatore from The Paper and The White Lotus. And Hailstorm lead singer Lizzie Hale. That's what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. And that's me, Kyle Meredith. Today, we're going to be talking with Jeff Tweedy of Wilco, one of the greatest artists of all time. Jeff Tweedy, the kind of artist who makes neurotic self-examination sound like a public service. As the frontman of Wilco, he spent the past three decades turning anxiety, grief, fleeting joy into Grammy-winning alt-country, dad rock masterpieces, and the occasional art noise detour just to keep the loyalists guessing, like myself. He's also found time to be a producer, an author, a podcast guest, a professional overthinker, with a knack for writing songs that sound like therapy sessions scored for slide guitar. And today, he's back with a new album. It's a triple album, a triple solo album. It's called Twilight Override, clocking in at 30 songs across three discs, nice round number. The project explores the past, present, and future, not as a rigid concept record, but as a flowing arc of memory, of meaning, and hope. And Jeff's going to share how the record was inspired by the voices of his touring band, how writing for the harmonies pushed the songs in new emotional territory. He's also going to reflect on post-pandemic generational trauma, the ongoing challenge of maintaining empathy in a fractured world, and the creative power in resisting doomscroll culture. All that and a whole lot more. This was exciting. The first time he's ever been on a show. I don't know how it's taken this long. I'm so excited to be talking about Twilight Override. It's Kyle Meredith with Jeff Tweedy.
Hello, how are you?
I was thinking beforehand, I was laughing because I've had Nick Offerman on here on this show probably three times. And every single time, I believe we've talked about you.
Well, that's because we're in love.
But it's the first time I've had you on here. I can't say he hasn't told anything that's not already out there because he put you in a book as well. But if there's anything that you need to air out about Nick Offerman, now is probably the time. So
I don't think so. I think he's exactly as he appears to be, an absolutely adorable human.
Well, man, Twilight Override. This, yes. You hear about the record, right? And it's 30 songs, and you say triple album, and you go, okay, has he gone full Billy Corgan on this thing? What is this?
Full Billy.
And it's not that, I mean, that I really do have to compliment you. It would be so easy for this to be a mess. It would be so easy for so much of this to be a throwaway thing. We've seen that in the past. This ain't that. And I shouldn't be surprised because you are one of the great songwriters, but this is an incredible record. And I could do an interview over each disc, but what's the story? What's the general story over here? How did you land on this?
Well, I've done a few solo records in the past 10 years, and I did a record as Tweety, which was kind of a solo record. And the general process for the solo records has been that I kind of play everything, and Spencer and Sammy on the most recent stuff, my kids, end up coming in, and it mostly falls under the purview of Tweety musicianship or singing, But we've put together a band that's been together for a while now to go out and play these songs on Warm Warmer and Love is a King and those records. And I always come home from those tours and those shows feeling like we've kind of improved the arrangements with the amount of voices that we have. We have Sima Cunningham and Macy Stewart, and that's Phenom. And Liam Cunningham or Liam Kazar, and he sings great. And I don't know, we've kind of developed all these vocal harmonies for songs that don't really have them on the previous records. And so I don't know, I just got it in my head. I wanted to write a lot of material for those voices, and thinking that we'd go out and start from that point instead of ending up there. And I guess that felt kind of inspiring to me, just because I just kept adding to the pile, and we kept recording, and it just kept deep. It just kept getting deeper and more substantial, and then it felt to me like that was a part of the statement of the record, is for it to be big-hearted and open and like oversharing, maybe over, to some degree. But grandiose isn't really the right word, but expansive, just like, in a different time we might say letting it all hang out or something. I don't think that sounds very good. But just an openness, just an open hearted, big hearted kind of display of affection. I don't know. I love writing songs. I love singing with these people. I love playing music with my family, and I love reaching out and making a connection. And over time, and I also kind of put together a little bit of a story that made sense with these three records. Not necessarily a concept, but a flowing arc. I think it's sequenced. To me, it's sequenced in a way that doesn't feel like a triple record. I can listen to it all in one sitting, and if I can, then surely there's one or two of you out there that might be able to.
And we'll be right back right after this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Jeff Tweedy.
And with this idea that you've at least wrote about in this, but by the way, beautifully written album bio that you put out there about, sort of the past, present, and future, and looking at it like that. And in that same bio, you sort of talked about how, of course, I don't know if escape is the right word, but what's going on in the world, it was a kind of way to get past that. And I'm bringing that up because I've quoted one of your lines, God, I hope I've quoted it right, for years now. And it actually brings me comfort when I say every generation thinks it's the end of the world.
I think it's true. I think it's a human a human flaw, maybe, that we have trouble seeing past ourselves, you know. And it seems like we know that we're mortal. We know that there's an end, but we don't really have the imagination to picture a world without us. I think I first noticed that feeling when I felt betrayed driving by my old high school after I had graduated. I'm like, what are they doing? What are these people doing there?
Doing everything just without you as
Yeah,
they
it's
did
like, oh,
before
they're
you,
still
right?
there? Why would they bother?
But that's
I thought they were just there to torment me.
and in some hellscape of your past, they still are, right? That's
Yeah,
yeah.
not, it's like it's I relive that all the time.
What's there's a line on here. I'm always going back there again and again from Forever Never Ends.
Yeah.
It,
Yeah.
is that what we're hitting on right there? It's a
Kind of.
therapist dream if we are. It's
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, we all probably need a little therapy at this moment or from time to time, but specifically at this moment, it feel like I'm walking around seeing a lot of traumatized people, not just even politically. I think culturally, post-pandemic, I think that there's a lot of whatever, untreated, undiagnosed, and maybe ignored or hoping it'll go away kind of feeling surrounding a very real generational trauma, you know.
But the way, I guess, going back to what we were talking about too, because the way you framed some of this stuff, I guess we get really our first dose of that in parking lots, you know, as we're in the past version of this concept there, which, by the way, the delivery, like, I could not hear King Missile just a little bit
Wow. Yeah.
in
Well,
there.
there's a little shimmy disc in me, probably.
Right.
Weren't they on Shimmy Disc? Yeah.
Right. But that's what I'm saying. But that, you know, to hit back at those parts, and it's done in a funny way, like parking lots. It's not funny, but it is. You know, Forever Never Ends has a fun story on there. I mean, are these because the songwriter can mumble some words into a microphone to figure out some words and then kind of put it together afterwards, but there's something about this that feels really biographical, I guess.
No, it's definitely, especially on the first disc, but throughout the record, there are, I think that there's abstractions and there's songs that are like pure word, poetry and sounds and stuff like that. But I think to me, it deepens it when you actually look at the camera and remind people that you are a person that has had real experiences and you're not just making it all up, and that this is funny and important and you know and sad and liberating and you know like all it's like a lot of things, and that's one of the reasons I guess it felt right to make it a 30 song record, you know, because to me, every sequence I tried to make of one record felt like it was missing some of that conversation between dissonance and harmony and I don't know, just the way lives are. And it really is the thing. It really is that this is the thing that has provided consolation to me my whole life. Not just my own music, but other people's music, but the process of making music. And I think I say in my bio that, you know, there's maybe a reason there's a lot of it going on, because I think it's a healthy, pretty adapt whatever healthy adaptation to the current environment. You know, it's like trying to stay in some spot where you have some power, you know, over things, and you know, making you can, I don't know, I think a healthy reaction to the inhumanity that we witness on a daily basis through our devices, and is to say, well, I reject that. I reject that. I reserve the right to envision a beautiful world, and I reserve the right to make my world, past, present, and future, poetic and worthy of light, you know.
That's very important. I mean, obviously, because it's so easy to get caught up in it. It's so easy to get sucked into some kind of spiral vortex that you just repeat every single day. Headline, 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 headline.
Yeah, it's like a mental, I mean, it really, I feel like everybody, not everybody, that's too broad, but I think a lot of us, and myself included, have spent a lot of the last 10 years or so waking up every morning and putting ourselves into a cage voluntarily, waking up and putting ourselves in a cage, turning around and locking it and then throwing the keys out of reach, you know, and it's a really hard habit to break. But it doesn't, that's what it feels like to me. It feels like, well, how did I get here? Well, I mean, should I be waking up thinking about things I have little control over and people that I despise and think every morning? Is that a good way to live your life, or are you wasting the opportunity to feel, think and feel freely how you want to feel? And I don't think that I'm advocating for anybody ignoring. I don't think it's possible to ignore the important issues if you're a thinking, feeling person, and being aware is different than what we're talking about. I think there's some part of us that it's like satisfying. There's some biological reason. I think people thrive on some outrage or something, you know, like they figured that out in terms of social media, that's what's really happening. And so I don't know. This is what happens when I try and do a lot less of that. I guess I write even more songs than my already kind of prolific nature.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Jeff Tweedy.
I guess that's really poignant when we look at that third disc too, because you call that future. And this isn't a dystopian record by any means, which would be an easy route. And great albums, right? There are great albums about stuff like that. And like, what did you want that disc to say, if you don't mind such a broad question?
Well, I think it's more to me where that record, what ended up on that record are the things that illustrate to me that it's not predictable. It's less, you know, even the intrusions of the past that are on the disc, that in the, whatever would be called the future, aren't predictable. You know, like I don't know if different memories of my past are going to happen in the next few years, because that happens. You forget about things, and then all of a sudden a relatively insignificant part of your life that you thought you had bypassed, even ever thinking about again, asserts itself in some way that is transformative, or that you realize that was a bigger moment than you thought it was. I guess in general, what I would hope that it communicates is encouraging in myself and others a deeper belief in radical self, individual expression, you know, individuated expression, you know, and I don't think you picture that you make a beautiful future without being able to dream it up. Being able to allow your mind to stay in a place that it contains just enough hope to picture something better.
I like that line, because the whole thing ends with enough, which is funny because you've got a song called This Is How It Ends, and that's not how the album ends. But it, you know, it's hard to stay in love with everyone. And there's a negative version of that line, and there's a very positive version of that line. Like the fact that you even want to says a lot.
I thought that you know, I could have whittled the whole record down to a couple of lines, and that's one of them. You know, like it's hard to stay in love with everyone. I could have just printed that out in a, you know, text or something to everybody.
It's a cool, I mean, that's a great song too. And I want to quickly hit, because I know I only got a few minutes here, but the music on here too, like, you know, pick your 20, right? That's the thing. I think maybe Bull Black Nova sits on the top for me. It always has. It's as long as it's existed. Immediately, I love that song. I love the feel of that song. There's a lot of feeling of that song on this record.
Yeah,
we talk about that dissonance and harmony, right? That's all over the music of this. Maybe that's natural. Is there any reason why you kind of gravitate towards? Because you got these beautifully messy solos on here, I don't have the title right. Love Is for Love. Mm-hmm. Like you're, it's almost like Willie Nelson's version of a solo like that, you know?
Right.
I love that stuff.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I let myself play a lot more guitar on the solo records more recent, like I think in general in the last few years I've played more. I mean, I have Nels Klein and Wilco, and over time I've kind of centered my, role in Wilco more around the acoustic guitar and expressing myself lyrically. I think that that's not to say that that won't change in Wilco either, like that there's room on stage for sure. When Wilco plays, there's room for three guitar players or more,
Bring it.
yeah, I think that there's a personal nature to the what well very individuated self-expression. I don't think that I wouldn't want anybody to try and sound like me. I don't think I'm trying to sound like anybody, although I can hear elements of different people that I've loved playing the guitar. But mostly it's just I'm not worried about any technique other than my own. And it feels really, really good to me in the same way that it feels good to sing a lyric that I feel that I believe in. And so I think I let myself do a little bit more of that. And again, that's one of those things where if you didn't put out a triple record, if you like you didn't have this expansive nature, you would cut down on some guitar solos and you would like eliminate that I don't know, that type of communication.
That's some of my favorite moments of this record too. And when you get to that song, Lou Reed was my babysitter. Like that starts to make a lot of sense when you hear that stuff in there. That's
Yep.
yeah, that's cool. And I'll quickly say because this, I think hilariously comes out on the 30th anniversary of Wilco, right? That's this year. It's like,
Does it?
I
Is
think
it?
was it 95? I hope I'm getting my math right. Yeah, and I just thought. A lot of people go for the big cash grab tour, 30th anniversary tour, the big bucks. What's
Yeah.
Jeff Tweedy say? Triple solo album.
Yeah. Right. Well, we've resisted a lot of nostalgia for a long time. I mean, as a band, I think that we've consciously tried to avoid being sentimental about our own history, or I don't know. I just feel like it's a trap. And, if we were a band that had broken up and gotten back together after 20 years or something like that, maybe that would make more sense. But we've tried to like justify our existence by making new records and standing behind them and trying to at least communicate that we're an ongoing endeavor, as opposed to something. I mean, we did some shows re reliving some past albums. We did Yankee Hotel Foxtrot in its entirety, and it felt really beautiful, like a real celebration. But it wasn't like we could play those songs like that back then. We were actually using the history and the feeling that has grown up around that record just to kind of celebrate it.
I love what you all do. I love what you do with your family and the Tweety stuff and Twilight Override. Seriously, Jeff, this is such a good record, and there's so much just to live with that I'm so happy you did. So congrats on it, man. And seriously, thank you so much for taking the time to talk about it.
My pleasure. And say hi to Nick next time you talk to him.
Well, I'm sure to be sooner than later. Seems to be. Right on, man. Take care. We'll see you around.
See you. Thank you.
My thanks to Jeff. The new album is called Twilight Override. And thanks to you for checking out the episode. Do hit that subscribe button before you get out of here so you can keep up with all the interviews that I put out every single week. You can grab a Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. And please do give the series a rating and leave a review while you're at it. And after that, you can head over to WFPK.org. It's where I do a show Monday through Friday starting 6 p.m. Eastern, 4 hours of classics from the 80s and 90s. You get the best in new music, bonus interviews, lots of music news. One of my recent shows featured some classics and favorites from Dusty Springfield, Fanny, Clover County, U2, Paul Weller, Joni Mitchell, Alanis Morissette, Tom Petty, Bon Iver, White Reaper, His Golden Messenger, Keb Moe, The Last Dinner Party, Ruin Brothers, Replacements, Sarah McLachlan, Yasmin Hamdan, and my interviews with Richard Ashcroft of The Verve, Colin Newman of Wire, and John Bradley of Game of Thrones and Three Body Project. That's what you get when you tune in weeknights starting 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the social media sites. The address is always at Kyle Meredith. I hope you do like and follow along. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Have fun.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
A BetterHelp ad. Lewis Capaldi partnered with BetterHelp to get word out about how important therapy can be.
Or I struggle most weeks to like get up, get myself up and ready and go to therapy or, you know, whatever. Like even like to open the laptop to talk to my therapist sometimes can be really difficult. But I do it because I realise how important it is for me to continue to feel good. Like I felt the best I've felt in a long time through therapy.
Learn more about online therapy at betterhelp.com.